Reading from Srila Prabhupada's Nectar of Devotion, glorious rendition of Srila Rupa Goswami's glorious Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Srila Prabhupada writes, Krishna's Kaishor age may be divided into three parts. In the beginning of his Kaishor age, that is, at the beginning of his 11th year, the luster of his body becomes so bright that it becomes an impetus for ecstatic love. What does it mean? Krishna, in his childhood, before this, his brightness, his bodily luster, is already millions of times more than that of a, what is that stated in the Bhagavad Gita? If a million suns were to rise at once, that splendor could not even resemble even a spark of the universal form. But then, if a million universal forms were to rise at once, they could not resemble the brightness of even a spark of Krishna's childhood form. Yet, it increases when Krishna enters his Kaishor age, and that becomes an impetus for bhav, for ecstatic love. Similarly, there are reddish borders around his eyes and a growth of soft hairs on his body. In other words, he is entering puberty. In describing this early stage of his Kaishor age, Kundalata, one of the residents of Vrindavan, she's a gopi more. Actually, not a gopi. She's not officially a gopi. She's the sister. She's a Brahmin girl. Kundalata, one of the residents of Vrindavan, said to her friend, "My dear friend, I have just seen an extraordinary beauty appearing in the person of Krishna. His blackish bodily hue appears just like the Indraneela jewel. There are reddish signs on his eyes and small soft hairs are coming out on his body. The appearance of these symptoms has made him extraordinarily beautiful." You can imagine the girls in the village. They're talking about the boys, but they only talk about Krishna. They're all in love with Krishna. I said, oh, they're already talking about, and now, oh, they're already talking about his beauty. Look what's going on. He's becoming more beautiful. Oh, extraordinarily beautiful. In this connection, in the 10th canto, 21st chapter, verse 5 of Srimad Bhagavatam, Shukadeva Goswami tells King Parikshit, "My dear king, I shall try to describe how the minds of the gopis became absorbed in thought of Krishna." The gopis would meditate on Krishna's dressing himself just like a dancing actor and entering the forest of Vrindavan, marking the ground with his footprints. They meditated on Krishna's having a helmet or a decoration for his head of a peacock feather and wearing earrings on his ears and yellow gold colored garments covered with jewels and pearls. They also meditated on Krishna's blowing his flute and on all the cowherd boys singing of the glories of the Lord. That is the description of the meditation which the gopis used to perform. And that is, of course, a rendition of one of the most famous verses, traditionally one of the most famous verses of Srimad Bhagavatam, describing Krishna, his beauty, as the gopis see it. Baha puram natavaravapu karna yo karnikaram bibrad vasa kanaka kapisham vaijayantim chamalam randran venur adhara sudhaya purayan gopa vrindair vrindaranyam svapadaramanam pravishad gita kirtihi. Sometimes the gopis would think about his soft nails. And think about it means they'd discuss among themselves in detail about his nails, very soft. Sometimes they discuss about his, I'm paraphrasing now what Srila Prabhupada has written, that they discuss about his moving eyebrows, and they could just go on talking for hours and hours just about how his eyebrows, they move and they arch, and his teeth, which were ketechu colored from chewing pan, red from chewing pan. One description was given by a gopi to her friend. "My dear friend, just see how the enemy of Agha has assumed such wonderful features. His brows are just like the bow of Cupid." The bow of Cupid for shooting love arrows and piercing the heart. "His brows are just like the bow of Cupid, and they are moving just as though they were dancing." You see, Krishna's playing his flute and his eyebrows. It's this side, isn't it? His eyebrows are dancing along with the lilt and the warble of the music. "The tips of his nails are so soft, it is as if they were dried bamboo leaves." That comparison probably doesn't resonate with most people in the modern world. "His teeth are reddish." See, they already said that, but they are repeating that. "His teeth are reddish, and so it appears that he has assumed a feature of anger. Under the circumstances, where is the chance for a young girl not to be attracted by such beautiful features and not to be afraid of becoming a victim to such beauty?" You see, they're exonerating themselves. "You naughty girl, you've been looking at Krishna. You're attracted to Krishna. It's not my fault. He's just so beautiful. What can I do? I'm a young girl. What can I do? There's nothing I can do. So keep them inside. Lock them up. Don't let them go to see Krishna." Krishna's attractive features are also described by Vrinda, the gopi after whom Vrindavana was named. She told Krishna, "My dear Madhava, your newly invented smile." What does that mean, a newly invented smile? How many different ways can you smile? But Krishna's smile, it always looks fresh and new, like something never seen before. "Your newly invented smile has so captivated the hearts of the gopis that they are simply unable to express themselves. As such, they have become bewildered and will not talk with others. All these gopis have become so affected that it is as if they had offered three sprinkles of water upon their lives." In other words, they have given up all hope for their living condition. According to the Indian system, when a person is dead, there is a sprinkling of water on the body. Thus, the statement of Vrinda shows that the gopis were so enchanted by the beauty of Krishna that because they could not express their minds, they had decided to commit suicide. They are as if dead. When Krishna arrived at the age of 13 to 14 years, his two arms and chest assumed an unspeakable beauty, and his whole form became simply enchanting. It's, the Mayavadis and the Nirvisheshavadis, they say words, it's all words. And, well, in one sense, we agree, because words, avang manasa gochara, it's the words, you can try to describe Krishna. We should just try to describe Krishna. Anukirtanam, following the descriptions of the previous acharyas, but words are just falling short. They don't live up to there's nothing wrong with the words, it's just the conception in our mind cannot expand to the full extent of drinking Krishna's beauty, and even Krishna himself, as he has to become Radha to try to drink in huge quantities the nectar of his own beauty. We ourselves, we're tiny little toony birds standing on the shore of the ocean. We can take little drops. But even that is enough to completely intoxicate. When Krishna attained 13 years of age, his two thighs were challenging the trunks of elephants. You see, it's an attempt to describe. His two thighs were challenging the trunks of elephants. His rising chest was trying to come to peace talks with doors of jewels. And his two arms were minimizing the value of the bolts found on doors. Who can describe the wonderful beauty of these features of Krishna? The special beauty of Krishna's body. What is it? His mild smiling, his restless eyes, and his world-enchanting songs. These are the special features of this age. There is a statement in this connection that Krishna, on arriving at this age, manifested such beautiful bodily features that his restless eyes became the playthings of Cupid, and his mild smile resembled the newly grown lotus flower. The enchanting vibration of his songs became a great impediment to the young girls who were supposed to remain chaste and faithful to their husbands. At this age, Krishna enjoyed the Rasa Leela, exhibiting his power of joking with the cowherd girls and enjoying their company in the bushes of the gardens by the bank of the Yamuna. In this connection, there is the following statement. Throughout the whole tract of land known as Vrindavan, there were the footprints of Krishna and the gopis. You see, Krishna and the gopis. The gopis and Krishna, they think, will play at night or at midday a long way so no one will catch us, but they're caught. Forensic evidence, the footprints. But somehow or other, only devotees who are allowed in on this secret notice those footprints and recognize them as those of Krishna and Radha and the gopis, which are unique with the Radha and Krishna's footprints. They're unique due to the unique markings on their feet. But somehow or other, the intrepid detectives of Krishna's, of Radha's sister-in-law and mother-in-law, they just can't see them. Because Jotila is a little blind. Anyway, footprints of Krishna and the gopis, and in some places peacock feathers were strewn about. The peacocks, when they're dancing, their feathers may come out. And then Krishna and the cowherd boys especially, they make decorations, and then again they become strewn about when Krishna dances about. So we're getting a little bit into a description of the beauty of Vrindavan, which is all non-different from the beauty of Krishna. In some places there were nice beddings in the bushes of the Vrindavan gardens, and in some places there were piles of dust due to the group dancing of Govinda and the gopis. These are some of the features which are due to the different pastimes invented by Sri Krishna in the place known as Vrindavana, Vrindravana, as they say in Vrindavana. There is the following statement by one gopi describing Krishna's attractive feature during this age. My dear friend, just see how all of a sudden in the sky of Krishna there is a powerful rising sun, and how this rising sun is minimizing the rays of our chastity moon. Our attraction toward Krishna is so intense that it is drying up the lotus flower of our discrimination, and we are losing our senses. In deciding whether we shall continue as chaste women or be victimized by the beauty of Krishna, my dear friend, I think that we have lost all hope of life. In the Kaishar age, beginning from the 11th year and continuing up to the end of the 15th year, Krishna's arms, legs, and thighs become marked with three divisional lines. At that time, Krishna's chest challenged a hill of Marakata jewels. His arms challenged pillars of the Indraneel jewel, the three lines of his waist challenged the waves of the river Yamuna, and his thighs challenged beautiful bananas. One gopi said, with all these exquisite features of his body, Krishna is too extraordinarily beautiful, and therefore I am always thinking of him to protect me, because he is the killer of all demons. What does that mean? Srila Prabhupada explains. The idea expressed in this statement is that the gopis were comparing their attraction for Krishna to an attack by demons. And to counteract their attraction for the beauty of Krishna, they were also turning to Krishna, hopefully, because he is the killer of all demons. In other words, they were perplexed, because on one hand they were attracted by the beauty of Krishna, and on the other hand, they needed Krishna to drive away the demon of such attraction. Beautiful. Madhura Lila, Krishna's beautiful pastimes. Madhuram, madhuram, madhuram. Madhura means sweet. Okay, I'm going to read some verses which I selected from an invocatory prayer at the beginning of Gita Govinda by Srila Jayadev Goswami in the early days of our movement. Well, at a certain point, we used to regularly sing this, and then at one point, Srila Prabhupada said not to have it in our songbook anymore, but from time to time we can recite some of the verses. Shrita Kamala Kucha Mandala He Drita Kundala E Drita Kundala Kalita Lalita Banamala Jaya Jaya Deva Hare Jaya Jaya Deva Hare. O Lord, who rests upon the breasts of the goddess of fortune, O Lord, decorated with swinging earrings, O Lord, who wears a charming garland of forest flowers, O Lord and Master Hari, all glories unto you, all glories unto you. So the beauty of Krishna, as it's been heard of and praised and meditated upon by generations of Vaishnavas. Dinamani mandala mandana he Bhava kandana he Bhava kandana munijana manasa hamsa Jaya Jaya Deva Hare Jaya Jaya Deva Hare. O Lord, whose ornaments are as splendid as the orb of the sun, O Lord, who breaks the cycle of repeated birth and death, O swan, who swims in the peaceful lake of the sage's mind, O Lord and Master Hari, all glories unto you, all glories unto you. I have to say that Munijana Manasa Hamsa to me sounds a lot more poetic and invocative than swan who swims in the peaceful lake of the sage's minds, which is it's perfect translation, but still it sounds so nice in the original. Munijana Manasa Hamsa. Then more descriptions of Krishna's beauty. Amala Kamala Dala Lochana He Bhava Mochana He Bhava Mochana Tribhuvana Bhuvana Nidhana Jaya Jaya Deva Hare Jaya Jaya Deva Hare. O Lord, whose eyes are like immaculate lotus petals, O giver of liberation from the cycles of repeated birth and death, O priceless treasure of the three worlds, O Lord and Master Hari, all glories unto you, all glories unto you. Now praising the same beautiful Supreme Lord in his form as Sri Ram, Janaka Suta Krita Bhushana He Jita Dushana He Jita Dushana Samarasamita Dashakanta Jaya Jaya Deva Hare Jaya Jaya Deva Hare. O Lord, who is the ornament of the daughter of Maharaj Janaka, Sri Sita Devi. He is the ornament of her. She is the ornament of him. O Lord, who is victorious over all wicked demons. O Lord, who defeated the ten-headed Ravana in battle. O Lord and Master Hari, all glories unto you, all glories unto you. And now a verse which is in praise of Krishna's beauty. One of my favorites. Abhinava jaladhara sundara he dhritamandara e dhritamandara shrimukha chandra chakora jaya jaya deva hare jaya jaya deva hare abhinava jaladhara sundara he. O Lord, as handsome, as beautiful, as a fresh rain cloud. O lifter, holder of Govardhan Hill. O Chakora bird who drinks the moonlight of Radharani's face. That could have been translated another way, a very insightful, intimate translation. O Lord and Master Hari, all glories unto you, all glories unto you. Now, a song of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Bhaktivinoda Thakur expressing his ecstasy of his experience of Krishna's beauty. Janama Shafalata Krishna Darshanaja Bhage Hoyache Ekba Bikoshiya Hridayan Kari Krishna Darshan Chare Jeev Chite Bika. One whose good fortune dawns so as to have the darshan, the sight of Krishna just once, his birth is successful. When the jiva gives up all mental delusions, then he will see the vision of Krishna blooming within the eyes of his heart. This is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's experience that he's conveying to us. Vrindavana keli chatur banamali chibanga bhangim rup vangshid hari aparup rashamoy nidhi gunashali. One sees Krishna in Vrindavan, decorated with garlands of forest flowers, as the most expert connoisseur of all the amorous love sports in Vrindavan. That's translation. Chatur, he's very expert. What is expert in what? And that is understood. Tribhanga bhangim rup, his transcendental form bent in three places. Vangshid hari aparup, holding his flute, playing his flute in an incomparable manner. He is the reservoir of all relishable mallows and the abode of all virtuous qualities. Borna navajala dhar Shire Shiki Puchabar Alaka Tilaka Shoba Pai Paridhan Pitabash Badane Madhur Hash Hinarup Jagata Matai. By such a beautiful form he is maddening the entire universe. His complexion is like that of a fresh new rain cloud. His head is decorated with a superb peacock feather, and the sandalwood tilak on his forehead, shobha pai, means, in English would say it gives beautiful, and here it's in the Bengali it says it attains beauty. Wearing brilliant yellow colored garments, he stands with his face decorated by a wide, sweet smile. Indra Nila Jinni Krishna Rupa Kani Hariya Kadamba Mule Mona Uchartan Nachale Charan Shangshara Gelam Bhule. Just seeing him standing thus at the base of a kadamba tree, I see Krishna's beauty, which is conquering the luster of sapphire. His whole all the features of Krishna just defeating sapphire. Seeing this, my mind is swelling up, restless. But my feet are stuck still. And I've forgotten everything. Home, family life. Shakihei. This is Bhaktivinoda Thakur speaking in the mood of a gopi. Shuddha moi she rupa madhuri dekhile nayan hoya chaitan jhare prema moi bari. Oh, my dear friend, girlfriend, Sakhi, seeing that sweet form abounding in nectar, I have fallen unconscious as a fountain of tears gushing with ecstatic love cascades from my eyes. Kiba chuda shire, kiba bongshi kore, kiba she tribhanga tham. Charana kamale, amia ujjale. Oh, it's ujjale. Kiba chura shire, kiba bongshi kore, kiba she tribhanga tham. Charana kamale, amia ujjale. Tahate Nupuradam. Kiba. Oh, just see that decoration on his head. Ah, his flute, how he holds the flute. What, how he plays the flute. And What a beautiful threefold bending form. The nectar of his lotus feet, the nectar of his lotus feet is overflowing with the tinkling sound coming from the clusters of ankle bells which decorate them. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur concludes this song. Sada asha kari bringa rupa dhari charana kamale sthan. Anayashe pai Krishna guna gai arna bhajibhavan. I always desire to take the form of a honeybee at the lotus feet of Krishna. Honeybees go to the flowers, and then very easily I will be able to sing the glories of Krishna, and I don't want to, and his aspiration, and not worship anyone or anything else. And that leads us into the next song, in which Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes the Krishna Guna. In this song, he's discussed his experience of Krishna Rupa, and now he's going to go on to describe Krishna Guna. But we will go on discussing the beauty of Krishna. Krishna, Rama, Narasimha, Narayana, Varaha, in whatever form the Lord appears, his beauty is exquisite, charming, fascinating. Very especially, we're talking about Krishna, and Krishna in Vrindavan, how he charmed all the residents of Vrindavan with his name's forms, which are about his beauty, means his form especially, his qualities, his pastimes. And nowadays, by the grace of his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada, all over the world, in so many temples, Krishna, so beautiful. And the devotees who dress the deities, they take the service, just like the Krishna at home is dressed by Mother Yashoda before he goes out to the cowherd pastures. And again, he comes back home and bathes and again is dressed. And then the boys, the cowherd boys and servants, they help with that. And then again, Krishna goes out to the forest and the cowherd boys, they decorate him some more with different forest minerals and soft clays. And then again, the gopis decorate him some more. So Krishna, he has a very busy day. He eats a lot because a lot of people want to feed him and he has a very good appetite. He dances a lot. He dances with the cowherd boys. He dances with the cowherd girls. He sings a lot. He gets dressed and undressed a lot. It's a very, very busy day and it's all bliss. We have busy days and it's just all stress. And for Krishna, it's all bliss. And the devotees are dressing Krishna in the temple. You just want to attract people. What are you doing in this world? Look at Krishna. Come, come, come to the temple. Come to the temple. Krishna. Krishna's there. Come and see Krishna. How beautiful is Krishna? Ah, even today in India, for all India is fallen, people like to visit temples. They're attracted to the beauty of Krishna. It's not anything of this material world. It's on Ananda Chinmaya Rasa. It's on the platform of transcendental bliss. It's real. It's permanent. It's sat. It's natural. And it's just ever flowing. It's always there. But we need Guru. Srila Prabhupada awakened us that to that. It's not like the physical beauty of this flesh and blood beauty, but Krishna's transcendental form, the ocean of genuine beauty. And his beauty, of course, in Vishnu Sahasranam, we're talking about his knowledge, his kindness, his compassion, his joy, his happiness, but they're all interlinked. It's not that there's beauty compartment, happiness compartment, it's all interlinked. Now, as we're discussing the name Sundara, we're especially talking about his beauty. But it's all interlinked and it's all there. It's all there. Krishna, his love, his tolerance. But actually all these qualities, it's another kind of beauty, isn't it? His love, his mercy. It's also the beauty of his personality. So the beauty of his personality is reflected in the beauty of his bodily features. It's quite common in this world that someone may be very beautiful physically, but their personality is not good at all. And they use their beauty to manipulate others. We could say that about Krishna also, because he makes us Dekhile Nayan Hoya Chaitan. We just discussed that. But you see him with your eyes and boom, you become unconscious. But this is manipulation in the sense that it is not to take advantage for our own personal benefit. Krishna, he's so beautiful and loving and merciful and wonderful, and he just wants to share that with everyone. Come and enjoy me, not that I'm trying to enjoy you. But he also enjoys the devotees. Indescribable. Yeah, he has all these qualities, and devotees of Krishna, they're also, they have these qualities, inner beauty. The physical form doesn't matter. We used to see Srila Prabhupada, so beautiful. Physically, you wouldn't think a man over 70 years of age, especially one who doesn't go to the gym or to the beauty parlor or any such thing, they would be beautiful. But Srila Prabhupada, his beauty was, even though he appeared to be in a material human form, the spiritual beauty flowed from his love of Krishna. Okay, another. Okay. Beauty finished. No, it's not finished, but I'm going to go on. No, there's no end. Another understanding of the name Sundara. The obvious meaning is beauty, beautiful. Sri Satya Sandha Yati Raj of the Madhva Sampradaya gives another meaning of this name Sundara. Dara can mean a conch shell. So, Su, the prefix, so it means, in this way, it means a beauty, Shobanam Dhara. Shobanam Dhara, Shako Yasya Iti Sundara, who has got a beautiful conch, his Panchajanya. That is Sundara. So that about his conch shell, there's more to discuss in upcoming names of Vishnu Sahasranama. So that was maybe unexpected. When we think of Sundara, we just say, oh, that Sundara, that means someone who's got a beautiful conch. Well, it's another meaning. And here's a completely different meaning from Satya Sandha Yati Raj. We have the name Sunda, the Sundara, which is spelled in English, S-U-N-D-A-R-A. And you can put an H with a dot underneath it, if you like. And there's another name, which is just in Vishnu Sahasranam, Sunda, S-U-N-D-A, which is another name, or just coming, Vishnu Sahasranam. But this is also the name of a demon, Sunda. So Satya Sandha Yati Raj says that this name Sundara can mean who killed the demon Sunda. And actually the story in the Puranas is that Sunda and Upasunda were sons of the well-known demon Nikumbha. If anyone's into studying the Puranas, you must have heard the name of Nikumbha. And maybe there's more than one demon by that name. There's definitely one in Ramayana by that name. So Nikumbha, by the usual method, they do some austerities. They get a boon from Brahma. So these two, Sunda and Upasunda, they had a boon from Brahma that they would not be killed unless they destroyed each other. And they had no intention of destroying each other. They were nasty to everyone else, but they were very brotherly and loving to each other. They lived together, they ate together, they moved about together. They were as if one person in two bodies, and they were always equal to each other in their ups and downs. They did more austerities, they became very, very powerful, and having got that boon from Brahma, they felt free to terrorize the whole universe, and the gods couldn't do anything about them because they could only die if they killed each other. And they didn't have any intention. Brahma thought of the way. What do we need? We need to bring a Sundari, a very beautiful woman. So he made the most beautiful woman imaginable to Brahma. He probably didn't have the darshan of Krishna by then. Tilotama. One of the famous apsaras. So he sent Tilotama to the two brothers one day when they happened to be intoxicated, and both brothers immediately desired her. There you go. There's the way to divide them. And they each one began to say, "Hey, she's going to be my wife, and she can be my wife and your sister." "No, no, no. I saw her first. She's mine." And they became, in their intoxicated state, they became angry with each other, and to make a long story short, they killed each other. So, what's that got to do with Krishna? Well, everything happens by the will of Krishna. So Satya Sandayati Raj is, you could say, stretching a little bit, but the ultimate cause of the death of Sunda was Krishna. So Sundam Upasandena Repiati Nashyati Iti Sundaraha. Who by the means of Upasunda killed Sunda can be called Sundara. Another meaning of this name. Yet another meaning from Krishna Datta Bharadvaj, he who is very highly regarded and worshipped. Sutaram Driyate Prashasyata Iti Sundara. That's the meanings. Sutaram means very highly, and Driyate from the root drit, to worship. And this name, Krishna Datta Bharadvaj, gives evidence from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 8, Text 45, to support this interpretation of the name Sundara. So I'll read that verse with Srila Prabhupada's translation. Prasadabhimukham Shashvat Prasanna Vadane Kshanam Sunasam Subhruvam Charu Kapolam Surasundaram. The face of the Lord is described herein. The Lord's face is perpetually very beautiful and pleasing in attitude. To the devotees who see him, he appears never to be displeased, and he is always prepared to award benedictions to them. His eyes, his nicely decorated eyebrows, Subhruvam, his raised nose and his broad forehead are all very beautiful. He is more beautiful than all the demigods. So such a person should be meditated upon. This is the description of the form of the Lord to be meditated upon. So what has Satyadeva Vashishta got to say? He always has a different kind of meaning to get, in most cases, to give to every name. So here we go. Satyadeva Vashishta gives a completely different meaning to the name Sundara. He very nicely, very well separates or divides the different creatures. Dri, dri from dara, dara, so from vidarane, to tear and to divide, and su, meaning doing it very well. He who divides or separates very well. And he, again, Satyadeva Vashishtha relates that to the actions of the Supreme Lord as we can see it in this world. So he gives the idea, just as you see, there are two wings of the birds, they're divided like that. The branches of the trees are all different. He has given the different forms of the different creatures in different ways. He's divided them with different functions in their creation. Interestingly, there's a word in English also, sunda, which means to tear apart. It has the same meaning. I don't know if it's directly derived from, well, it's unlikely that it's directly derived from the Sanskrit. It's spelt S-U-N-D-E-R, and we have Sundara, if that's rendered in English, as S-U-N-D-A-R, Sundara. An English word is Sunda. There is a town in northeast England called Sunderland, and interestingly, in Sunderland itself, they pronounce it Sundaland, Sundalan, for all it's worth. So what it means, the name Sundaland is derived from the somehow or other, way back in history, the land became divided apart from the rest of the mainland or something like that. It means like that, which became split apart. If you ever go to Sundalan, and you might go there for book distribution, for chanting the holy names of the Lord, you can remember, there you go, Sunda. They're chanting the names of Krishna without knowing. So the football fans will be there going, Sundalan, Sundalan. They don't know. They're chanting the names of the names of the Supreme Lord. He's so merciful. He manifests himself in different languages and people don't even know. Let us bow our heads at the lotus feet of that very merciful Supreme Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is very beautiful and very kindly appears in this world to bring some real beauty, actual beauty, the beauty of himself, into our ugly lives. Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha dante nidhaya chunakang padayani patya kritvacha kakushatam etadaham ravimi he sadhava sakala eva vihaya durat gauranga chandra charane kuruta anuragaha Parivadatu jano yata tata va nanu mokaro navayang vicharayamaha. Hari rasa madira madati mata bhuvi vilutama nartama nirvishama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.